Welcome to your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. Today, Nick and I are joined once again by our friend Kelly Joy Ladd, and we're talking about an amazing book that both Kelly and I are reading right now. Listen in as we get deep about the role that self-expression plays in understanding who we are as human beings. It's the kind of conversation you can only have with friends like these. Check it out. This book that we're both listening to, that you're listening to for the second time, The Creative Act by Rick Rubin, which I mentioned to you.
Yeah, little Ricky Rubin.
I just saw a picture of what Rick Rubin looks like. Have you seen what he looks like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, so I think I brought it up last time we were talking about it because he had just been on, I think it was this year, he was on 60 Minutes. Mm-hmm. And they were like talking to him about, you know, like what actually qualifies you to do this? And he's like, well, really nothing. I just like what I like and I can convey that well.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't know how to play any instruments, he doesn't really know how to use the board or anything. Like, he's just there as sort of this guru.
He's a catalyst. He's a muse. But he seems to understand creativity on a really beautiful and profound level. I heard him say something today that I want to run by you because I want to know if you think it's true or not. Can a person know themselves without expressing themselves? Can a person really know who they are without expressing themselves in some way?
Well, you could say yes and no to that. Yes, if they go internal and there are just about reflection. Mm-hmm. And that may not be necessary, like you may not necessarily have to express that. There's no like really reason why you have to express that. It could be just a very personal thing of just self-awareness. But then there's people like the three of us who are like, I just want to express it and share it. And so I share myself. And when you share yourself, you share your self-awareness and knowingness. And
I wonder if there's a, because the first thing that came to my mind was there's some sort of confirmation if you share who you are and then you hear back from people, yes, that's who you are, you know, like that helps. And that helps in knowing yourself is that, like, I think this is who I am,
right?
When I express myself. And then you get back maybe feedback that, oh, you're actually this person, or yes, you are that person. Yeah.
I feel like you can only know yourself to a certain extent if you don't express yourself. And when I say that, because if you at some point choose to express yourself, you're going to change the world in some way, right? Something's changed. As somebody's experienced you, so that you've seen some reaction, you've heard yourself express yourself. And then you respond to that. You change based on what you've put out into the world. And it's this whole evolution of the more you express, the more you know. Because how far can you go before you express yourself? Yes, I can know myself in this enclosed capsule that hasn't touched anything or done anything. The minute I step outside that, I don't know myself until I learn myself again because I've got new stuff.
Right? That's true. Like, so like I know something and outside of me is something different. So I have to know myself well enough to know that that's me, like my energy versus somebody else's energy or something else. So like because otherwise if you don't know yourself fully, you can tap into the other person's stuff and energy and not realize that that's filtering into you.
Oh, is that a bad thing? Because I feel like this whole concept of separation is an illusion that I don't really understand. But we're separated by skin walls, right? But take away the skin walls, our thoughts, our ideas are completely intertwining when we have conversations. My mind's being changed by both of you when we have a conversation, and yours is being changed by me as well. And it's just the whole concept of how we evolve and what buttons we push to change things in certain ways. I'm on this quest now, listening to all kinds of things to figure out how to find a path that feels awesome. I'm not in a bad place, but I'm in a place where I feel potential without realizing it yet. And so I'm listening to a lot of stuff, and so I have these deep questions.
Well,
I like these deep questions.
I mean, it's not like when you start getting comfortable, you're like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, I start getting bored.
Yeah.
And but I don't mind a little boredom. This is finding the balance of boredom, right? Because I would really love to find just enough boredom, because I think some of my most creative things come out of boredom. Come out of, I don't have anything else to think about, so now I'm going to start thinking actively about this thing.
Right.
And
kind of blue skying it a little bit.
Yeah. So that's interesting, because like I get a lot of my best ideas when I'm in silence or when I'm in a relaxation mode. That's when I just get hit with just inspiration. And so I purposely seek out the silence so I can get the hits more.
So instead of calling it boredom, it's more like a meditative state.
Yes.
I think it's a Buddhist saying that says that the ripples are clearest in the calmest pond. And so if you're looking for those ripples of inspiration to be able to create some calm and know that those things that you're experiencing are what you're looking for or might be. This is the other thing. Listening to this book on the creative act has opened me up to the concept that I put too many filters on everything. And when you put a filter on it, it immediately narrows the possibilities, which you have to do at some point anyways, right? But one of the things I teach people, and I keep forgetting myself, which is like everything, but is that you have to keep the possibilities open as long as possible so that you can explore them and figure out which ones you really want to pursue. And then you go, okay, out of all these really great ideas, I'm going to choose this path. And then I'm going to create a million ideas out of that and narrow that down. It's that whole undulation thing.
Yeah, and like each idea that you have, there's like a fork. And then you have to just, like, it's like choose your own adventure type of thing.
What do they call those things? It's algorithms. Algorithms or the diet
flowcharts. Yeah.
Flowcharts. Mm-hmm. I used to draw those all the time. I still sometimes.
You should draw more.
They describe things. They're really good communication tools, right? I don't like all the standard shapes having specific meanings, but I like the shapes.
I think actually, could you draw some on the floor in my house? Like, okay, you go to here, you go to this part of the room. Do you have to go to the bathroom? Yes, go to the bathroom. No, go do something creative.
I think that would be fantastic.
I think that would be great. I think that could be like a little art installation somewhere.
I think in a museum, right? Why wouldn't it be the art algorithm in the museum? Yeah. That is such a cool idea.
I like that. Hey, it's me. I'm Nick. Thanks for listening. Writing down all the potential things you could do on the floor as a workflow might be a bit much. But if you could take out some of the decision-making in your life, does that put you in a position to solve problems more easily? Or be more creative because your brain isn't held up in a loop of what to have for lunch or what to wear that day? I'm just buying jeans and black t-shirts from now on, because that's all I'm wearing, and cargo shorts, but sneakers only, unless I feel like wearing flip-flops. Watches. I need a watch, probably. What about jewelry? I'm going to think about this. Have a great day.